Profits. Hi, everybody. I'm the host, Jeff D. Our co-host is Dennis Lube.
Howdy.
Producer Russell Glasser.
Hi-ho.
And engineer Matt Dillahunty.
Hello.
We are live June 17, 2006, broadcasting from the amazing Dillahunty International Studios here in Austin, Texas. Today's opening music was The Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead by XTC from their 1992 album Nonesuch. The Atheist Community of Austin is a non-profit educational organization promoting positive atheism and the separation of church and state. We have weekly meetings at 11:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at Romeo's at 1500 Barton Springs Road, except for the third Sunday of each month when we have our lecture series. This month's lecture is on June 18, that's tomorrow.
Woohoo!
And the speaker is Thomas Van Orden, best known for his work on the Ten Commandments Monument case that was decided by the Supreme Court in June of 2005. In this talk, Van Orden will recap what happened with the Supreme Court decision and what this means going forward in the area of church-state separation. The lecture starts at 12:30 p.m. at the Austin History Center at 9th and Guadalupe in Austin. Lectures are free and open to the public. ACA Happy Hour is at NINFA's on 183 every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, call the ACA's voicemail at 512-371-2911 or visit the website www.atheist-community.org. Just want to remind everyone listening to the show, you can participate in the show live by logging into the chat room every other Saturday from 2 to 3:30 Central Time. That would be every other Saturday on those Saturdays when we are actually broadcasting.
That doesn't mean you actually get to grab one of our microphones, though.
No.
For
instructions, go to our show's website, www.nonprofitsradio.com.
Woohoo!
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Time for another show. Everybody ready to do a show?
I hope so.
Hey, did... It hadn't been 666, our last show,
We did a thing.
But now it's passed.
666 came and went without incident.
Right.
Other than the incidents involving dimwits thinking that it was important.
Right.
I guess a couple of movies came out on that day.
Yeah.
Because it's marketing. Okay. Do a news, Russell.
Of course, John Stewart mentioned that it wasn't 666, it was 6606, which you have to wonder if the devil cares that much about typos.
The problem is, the year 666,
yes.
Jesus is like freaking 6 years old, man.
That's right.
So, he hadn't had time to really cause any trouble yet.
So you're saying it already happened. Actually, there's a range of when Jesus was supposed to be born, so it could have been that Jesus was actually born on 666.
I can
imagine this whole Antichrist thing is a misunderstanding.
We don't really know, even if there was an actual guy, we don't really know exactly what year he was born in. It's all sort of a guess.
Even so, it's amusing to imagine all those parents who had babies born on that day who are now in anguish for the next 20 years or so because they really believe that crap.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that if you had a man god striding the earth with Jesus' powers, it would have been pretty dangerous to be around him when he was six.
Right,
probably
because he could have wished you into the cornfield or something. Everybody gets that reference, right?
Why can't you be more like your brother Damien?
Was that the Twilight Zone?
That's the Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
reference.
Okay, I got it. Yay.
So,
the Twilight Zone episode with the kid with omnipotent powers. Mm-hmm. Who?
They're explaining my joke now.
I'm sorry, but not everybody knows old Twilight Zone episodes.
That's true, but it was redone, right?
Not everybody knows remakes of Twilight Zone episodes.
Okay,
sorry.
We should do some news.
Okay.
That's sort of what we're here for, right?
I guess so.
It's been 2 weeks, but for some reason, for me, it feels like longer. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. I've been working. pick a news. Start
okay.
Anywhere. I don't care.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Gay marriage amendment fails in Senate.
Uh-huh.
This is
yes.
Pretty pathetic. A constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, backed by President Bush and conservative groups, was soundly defeated in the Senate yesterday after proponents failed to persuade a bare majority of all senators to support the measure. So it didn't actually get proposed and then defeated. It got shot down from even becoming a proposed amendment.
Right.
Although most states have acted to prevent same-sex partners from marrying, seven Senate Republicans were wary of wading into the politically risky issue and voted against bringing the proposed amendment to a final vote.
I don't get how it's politically risky. Aren't there in fact polls showing that most Americans are against gay marriage? I thought that was an established fact.
Thought so too.
The way I heard it, it was risky because while most Americans are sort of nominally against it, they don't actually, only a very small number actually consider it that important.
Whereas most Americans, there's all this actually important stuff going on. Whereas most Americans want us out of Iraq.
Right.
And yet the same group of dimwits managed to pass a non-binding resolution for staying the course.
They did that before this.
I don't get it. I don't understand why they succeeded in getting all their votes on the war vote, but didn't succeed in getting all their votes on the gay marriage thing. I don't get it.
Doesn't that seem odd to you? I don't know either. Maybe it's a sign that the fiscal Republicans are sort of breaking up from the, you know, theocrat Republicans.
On social issues.
Right.
Right. Now, maybe. I think there's just a lot more gay Republican senators and congressmen than we think.
Could be.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah.
They're gay, warmongering Republicans.
That's it. Supporters went into...
It's a fact, man. Don't laugh at me.
I know. It's like, I can't argue with that.
Sheer speculation, everybody.
Supporters went into yesterday's showdown knowing that they could not muster the two-thirds majority needed to pass a constitutional amendment, much less than the 60 votes needed to cut off debate and bring the measure to a final vote. But they had at least hoped to gain a simple majority of the Senate, or 51 votes. Instead, they fell short, 49 to 48.
I do wonder if they went ahead with this thing, even though they couldn't get the
votes.
That's
right. They all knew that it wasn't going to pass.
Well,
so
I know that they went ahead with it because they needed to throw a bone to the religious right.
Right. I think what they're after is basically negative commercial fodder for 2006 elections. They want to be able to put somebody's face up in negative black and white and say, you know, Senator Big Shot doesn't think that, thinks that gays should be allowed to get married because he hates traditional marriage.
That's exactly what they were after with the Stay the Course resolution in the House.
Right.
And the Stay the Course resolution in the House passed. Easily. So I don't get it. I mean, if that's really the strategy, then why don't they just go ahead and vote for it and then, like, hold back a couple of votes so, you know, they can say that all these Democrats voted against it, but it still doesn't pass if they don't.
Maybe they don't actually.
They didn't even go anywhere near it. And yet they clearly have the people who can walk lockstep and make these things happen.
Right.
I don't understand why they didn't use their power to make things happen in the Congress. Did they vote the stay the course thing
because they're walking lockstep, or did they vote the stay the course thing because most of the Republican senators actually think that that's a good idea? To stay the course.
And it's hard for me to separate different kinds of stupidity in my head. I tend to lump people into, you know, relatively intelligent and relatively stupid. And if they're stupid on one issue, it amazes me I'm not making my point very well.
Well, people are stupid in different ways, and you're not acknowledging those.
I'm not
different
trying to suggest that it is
stupid.
Not equally stupid to. To vote for a constitutional amendment against gay marriage, and to vote that we should just sort of infinitely remain in Iraq for you know, just cause.
Right.
Those are equally stupid.
Yes.
It's just they all agreed on one, and they didn't all agree on the other one. That's what surprises me.
Well, the gay marriage thing is a God issue, and some people
and
also consider...
that, which is what amazes me. I mean...
I don't know.
I guess it just proves that the Iraq war is really a money issue.
I don't know, but just to bring some stability back to your mental picture of the world, here are some people who are genuinely stupid all
good,
the time.
Thanks.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, Tennessee, and other GOP leaders had sought the vote as a way to help galvanize their party's conservative base at a time of flagging public confidence in the Bush administration and Congress. Didn't work. Some conservatives sought to put a positive face on the outcome, noting that proposed constitutional amendments typically encounter an uphill battle. Although in this case, they're actually sliding downhill from the uphill battle, since last year they at least managed to get that majority. Right? They did the same thing last year. We're making progress, and we're not going to stop until marriage between a man and a woman is protected. Protected in the courts, protected in the Constitution, but most of all protected for the people and for the future of our children in this society, Senator Sam Brownback said after the vote. And I've got another story about him later.
Do they have an example of somebody whose marriage was destroyed by... homosexual marriage?
I don't think so, although they keep bringing up fake, made-up statistics from other countries. I've heard O'Reilly do that. But Senator John McCain, who opposed the measure, said, maybe this will shed some light, most Americans are not yet convinced that their elected representatives or the judiciary are likely to expand decisively the definition of marriage to include same-sex couples. So his argument is that no amendment is needed because
it's
there's
already.
Not going to be one. Because there's not going to be gay marriage anyway.
That
I don't know.
Never stopped him before.
Diluted. I don't know. And then they went right to the flag burning thing after that failed. And that's something else.
How's that doing?
Look over there.
I didn't print that one.
I haven't been following that story. Anybody in the chat room know whether? What is the vote coming up? If they had it, did it pass? Did it fail? We don't know. I don't know.
When was the last time you heard about a flag actually being burned? In America, anyway.
I don't know.
Not recently.
Don't know.
I think the day that they pass an anti-flag burning amendment, people will be out with their, not quite right flags with their 45 stars and 11 stripes and burning those.
Mm-hmm. And that won't be against the law.
That's right. Yeah, you remember we talked about this a while back. the amendment that they were proposing had this very specific definition of a flag incorporated into it. And so if your proportions are wrong or something...
What if it's drawn on, cardboard or something?
I don't know. What if it's your child's picture?
What if you don't burn it, but, you print it on toilet paper and wipe your ass with it? Is that okay?
I think they'd probably want to go after the makers of that toilet paper.
I'm not burning it. I'm flushing it.
Well, I think the amendment was more about anti-desecrating.
What about you're some company that makes, stickers, right?
Yeah.
And you overprint your flag stickers, right?
Right.
You've got this stock, and you've got to dispose of it, and it happens to get burnt. Have you broken the law?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Even if your motivation
is... Not necessarily.
And you can be held without charges?
Your stickers might actually fall outside the definition of...
Okay,
of
fine.
What a flag
little
is.
Flags for waving at parades.
Little toothpick flags. You go sit out in the Capitol steps with a Bic lighter, and you have a box of these little flags, and you sit there,
What about all the fireworks that have flags, printed on them?
Okay, that's a real
do
danger.
Do we all agree that that would be stupid to pass that amendment?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure.
I think that is the operative point.
I think I had something else I wanted to say about that, but I forgot what it was. How about that Ann Coulter, huh?
Fucking Ann Coulter?
What about... What?
No, that's not what I meant.
No, don't bring that image.
I don't think anyone's actually doing that.
That's right, because she's celibate, isn't she?
Is she?
Well, I mean, she's godless. I mean, she's not
godful.
She's godful.
We're godless.
And she...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
According to her. And also, all liberals.
Right.
Which is... Okay. Everybody, this she's
so
been,
we're fucking,
we better
she's
bring
fuckless.
Our audience up to speed.
She has been all over the media. I'm sure most of you people are aware that Ann Coulter has come out with a new disgusting book called Godless, where she makes this interesting syllogism. Okay.
Yes.
Atheists mostly vote Democratic. Democrats are liberal. Therefore, liberalism is atheistic. Furthermore, not just atheists that vote Democratic are atheists, but also all liberals are atheists.
Huh.
I wish.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I, a few years back, my partner and I got involved in local Texas politics. We went to the state Democratic convention, and we got, like, cornered and yelled at by Democrats who were offended by the fact that we openly didn't believe in a God. I just wish all Democrats were atheists, but they ain't.
I just wish Ann Coulter could make a syllogism that wasn't so fucking full of logical fallacies. That's just not even a correct syllogism.
Let me be fair to Ann Coulter, by the way. I have not read her book. I heard her explain this on the radio here in Austin.
Many times.
On a Catholic radio show with a Catholic commentator. The show is actually made in Michigan. It's not local. But I listened to this. She explained her position to this Catholic commentator guy, and he nodded and went,
Okay.
So I think I understand where she's coming from, but she might actually say it differently in her
Well, I was listening to Ann Coulter.
I don't know, she's a big, fat, stinky liar, so you never know when
she
says something on one place that
you have to give her that.
I was listening to her on TV when she was talking to some guy, and
Yeah,
all you have time to say is uh-huh, because she never shuts up. Once she starts talking, it's like... And you can't get a word in edgewise. It's weird.
Russell, did I just hear you imply that Miss Coulter is slender?
Well, I saw her. I don't want to say she's skinny, but well, I did see her on Jay Leno the other day, which, by the way, was a horribly disappointing experience because I had heard this being hyped as her with George Carlin, and I was envisioning a cage match. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, this was on Alt Atheism. It was hyped on the Pharyngula blog, which I also love. And I tuned in and waited for something to happen. And George Carlin did his little wacky thing, and then Ann Coulter came on and sat there and spewed her disgusting stuff. And George Carlin just sat there and didn't say anything. And I thought they shouldn't. Well, Politically Incorrect should still be on the air. I'm pissed off about the loss of Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Because that was the only show where...
Well, he has another show now, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's on HBO, and I don't get that.
No. Well, you're not sufficiently supportive of Mr. Maher.
I'm sorry.
About
Ann Coulter.
Monsieur Maher.
All right, so
I have heard
her
skinniness said,
or fatness or ugliness or sexiness is all pretty much irrelevant. We know that. But
damn it, she's skinny.
She's incredibly insulting of us and just deserves the same in return. So now that we've moved through the let's insult Ann Coulter portion of the show.
He's got more insults, man.
I've got more to say.
You have more? Go ahead, man.
Were you about to move on to another topic?
No, same topic, just my experience.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Wow. She did... Okay, here's the thing. Last year, I posted an article in my blog. Actually, it was not a blog at the time. It's a blog now. Where
What is that blog address, Jeff?
I have no idea. Oh. And I posted my thoughts on the whole issue of whether the Democratic Party ought to go Christian. Because there has been a lot of that sort of talk in the Democratic Party because of the success the Republicans have had by snuggling up with the religious right. And a lot of Democrats are saying, well, there's a religious left, let's snuggle up with them. And the problem with this is that while it is a lie when Republicans accuse the Democrats of being atheists, right, of all Democrats of being atheists, or all liberals of being atheists, while that is a lie, it is true that the vast majority of atheists are liberals and Democrats. This is true.
I don't know if it's the vast majority.
Yes.
I see an awful lot of atheist libertarians.
The atheist vote went, this is statistically verified now by Al Franken and Al Coulter. Ann Coulter.
Yes.
And did I just say Al Coulter?
Yeah. She's a mad
that's
baby.
That's a weird Frankenstein monster.
Isn't it, though?
The both of them, and she mentioned this on this radio program, which proves I'm right and have been right all along. That the atheist vote went to Gore and then to Kerry. This
by
is
how
established
much?
Fact. What do you mean by how much?
I mean how
according
solidly?
To Al Gore, according to
Al Franken.
Al Franken. According to Al Franken, it is roughly 80%.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
And that's
we can
the best
still
majority.
Call libertarian.
And the only action. Reason she brings that up
I'd
is
do
that
it, we do it anyway, huh?
The only reason she brings that up is that to her, atheist is a pejorative term.
Right, but the point is that she is aware that there is a segment of the Democratic Party that are atheists,
mm-hmm.
and so when the Republicans come at the Democratic Party with these accusations of godlessness, like in her book, which is the clearest statement of this so far, and the Democratic Party's knee-jerk, you know, play the odds and kowtow to the biggest interest groups kicks in, and they go, oh, no, we're not, we're Christians. What happens is that a chunk of the Democratic Party gets alienated, but
right.
our chunk.
Right.
Now, oh,
right.
and I have to say one thing for the record. I think, am I correct in thinking all four of us here in the studio today are liberals and vote Democratic usually?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. This is just representative of that 80%. There are members of the ACA,
if there were
for
a
example,
fifth person in this room.
It would probably be one of our token Republicans or libertarians, but which we have them, and God bless them.
was that a compliment or not?
you figure it out. So so anyway, the ACA, the organization that we are members of and which hosts this show, has no political affiliation. It just is a fact that most atheists, 80% of atheists, tend to vote Democratic. So
that is true.
When
you want to speculate on why?
No. I'm sticking with the Coulter thing.
Okay.
So when the Republicans come at the Democratic Party and say, you know, you're atheists, and they say, oh no, we're not, we're Christians, and we get alienated, we are gonna there are natural hostilities there that could boil over and drive a chunk of the Democratic Party away. Now, statistically, the votes recently, the national votes, have gone very close to 50-50 either way.
Right.
So let's you know, sort of simplify this a bit and say half the country, or half the voters, are Democrats, right? Well, what percentage of the country is atheists? Somewhere between 7...
10,
let's say 10.
7, 10.
10, which means what percentage of the Democrats... If we're almost all Democrats?
About 20
almost
or less.
Almost 20%. Say 16% if we're like right? 16%. Now, what political party wouldn't love to cause the alienation of 16% of the other party's votes?
Good question.
There ain't none.
Right.
I think this is intentional. I think it's absolutely intentional. But the interesting thing that there came up in... Yes?
So Ann Coulter is pointing out our godlessness in order to provoke a knee-jerk reaction which will split...
She is accusing the entire Democratic Party. Notice that her syllogism makes no sense.
Right.
It's completely not true that all Democrats are atheists, right? It's just not true.
But
the accusation of godlessness on the part of the Democratic Party will be responded to, and probably, if
they're
not thinking, it will probably be responded to by the Democratic Party if they don't think, which, you know, big, giant organizations tend not to.
Not to.
If they don't think about the consequences by responding to Ann Coulter saying, oh no, Democrats are actually Christians, 16% of the Democratic vote could just go away.
There's another angle on the gay marriage thing now that I think about it.
Yep.
In fact, kind of what you're implying here is that the Republican Party is actually a very homogenous institution. They try to get their members to vote the same way all the time on everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's related to fiscally conservative stuff or theocratic conservative stuff. They've, for instance, convinced that segment of the Republican Party that is poor but religious fanatics to vote for massive tax cuts for rich people,
right?
Which has nothing to do with their interests, but it has become part of their interests because they're interested in developing this very homogenous party that believes the same thing on all issues.
Right.
Whereas the Democratic Party, I'm sorry, tends to be, I heard somewhere that using the term Democrat Party was actually some kind of Republican linguistic trick at some point.
Okay, go on.
Sorry,
go on,
getting sidetracked.
With your point, yeah.
The Democratic Party is actually sort of a mishmash of various people who support different causes and are generally supportive of...
progressive?
Right. how can I put this in a nice little soundbite? That's kind of the problem.
I'm not sure there is. But yes, the Democratic Party right now is a coalition of groups.
A coalition of people
who tend to be
accepting of people and not trying to throw bombs.
Well, they need to be accepting of other people. I'm not sure that is a natural tendency more than it is a necessity.
Right.
But that necessity is exactly what Ann Coulter and the rest of the right wing are
attacking. Yeah.
And it became crystal clear when I listened to her on this Catholic show when she started going after Wiccans and New Agers in the Democratic Party.
Right.
It is true that the Democratic Party gets the flaky New Age wackos. This is a fact.
Afraid so, yes.
And so tarring the entire Democratic Party with flaky New Age wackiness is exactly the same strategy, merely targeting a different segment of the Democratic coalition.
As is the gay marriage
I take as much offense at being labeled a wacky New Age lunatic as a liberal Christian Democrat takes at being labeled an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So.
And there was also talk after the election of how some people were saying, you know, we really should concede this whole abortion thing because it's not that big an issue for everybody. And maybe it would put us in a stronger position if we had more pro-life Democrats.
I think it's fine to contemplate things like that, and I also think it's great that the Democratic Party has not gone that way.
Right.
But
it's another thing.
Discussions are fine. I don't. I mean, if we wanted to, if Democrats wanted to say, you know, in order to get in power, maybe for now we ought to give up on the whole gay marriage thing.
Right.
That is a fine discussion to have. I don't care so much about that there's a discussion. I don't think discussing things make you evil. But thankfully, the party's not going that way. So I'm happy. But I think that the response to Ann Coulter should not be so much Ann Coulter is an ugly cunt. which is often
right.
the response. And accurate, yeah. but not relevant. the response should be for people in the Democratic Party coalition, and I apologize to our listeners, by the way, for dragging you through all this Democratic stuff if you don't happen to be Democrats. We're sorry. We're talking about this for the moment. We'll move on to other issues in a minute. But I think the response needs to be for atheists and Wiccans and New Agers and liberal Christians in that party to sit down and work out how it is we're going to coexist. We ought to actually talk about our differences and find the common ground and focus on that actively in order to prevent the sort of knee-jerk reaction that Ann Coulter and the rest of the evil Republicans are trying to force us into.
Trying to provoke.
You are right, but okay. Can I still call her an ugly cunt?
You certainly may, and it's just not
because
relevant to the discussion.
Another thing that she's been famously doing on TV is going out talking about these 9/11 widows.
Oh, yeah.
You noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, sure, because she's not going to get on the... She's not going to get a lot of media attention for criticizing atheists.
Right.
I suppose not. And so what she says is... let's see. They've become millionaires, lionized on TV, and I've never seen people enjoying their husband's death so much.
Uh-huh.
Which you have to think is just basically trying to piss people off.
You know,
she has said...
She responded to that on this radio show. What did she say, what you heard? And I'll tell you what I heard.
What she then goes on to say is that they keep speaking out using the fact that they're widows, and this is the left's doctrine of infallibility. If they have a point to make about the 9/11 Commission, about how to fight the war on terrorism, how about sending in somebody we're allowed to respond to? No, no, no. We always have to respond to someone who just had a family member die. So her contention is that she's not allowed to respond to the widows because they're widows.
Let's go there in just a second.
Okay.
What she said in defense of her statement about the 9/11 widows was that all she meant was that after the deaths, the widows were enjoying themselves. Not that the widows would have chosen for their husbands to die so that they could get this enjoyment. I don't see what the difference is particularly.
Me neither.
Right? Because, if somebody has a horrible personal tragedy, you know what I want for them? I want for something nice to happen to them and for them to be able to enjoy it. That is what I want. I don't see what the problem is. Now, getting back
but
more directly to what
she was
talking...
But that doesn't mean they enjoy being widows, which is sort of a subtle
difference.
It's
what it sounds like. She says it's not what she meant, but I don't care. Even given what
but
she says
what
she meant,
said.
It's irrelevant. But on this whole thing of, you can't respond to them, I've heard a number of people responding to her by saying, who says you can't respond to them?
That's what I say.
You can respond to them.
You're doing it.
In fact, you are. Yeah, right.
Yes.
This book is a response to them.
Right.
And when you do it, what it shows is that you have no compassion whatsoever for these women.
Wait.
Yes?
Let me make a difference here.
Yeah.
When she responds to their points,
yes,
no one will begrudge her that.
Right. The way that
she has chosen to respond. She does not respond to their points. She responds to them by attacking them, which is what she thinks responding to people means. You notice she hasn't said a word about what they're actually saying, which is that there's an issue with attention to security.
I have noticed that. And also I've noticed that she doesn't explain what she means by you can't respond to them.
Right.
Right? Clearly, she means, I think it's clear that what she means is, if you respond to them, you look like an evil cunt. And,
guess what?
But she's wrong. If you respond to them in the way that she has chosen to respond to them, by being an evil cunt, then you look like an evil cunt.
I think she is claiming, though, that even if you responded with reasoned argument, even if...
Mm-hmm.
You would still look like you were an evil person.
She's wrong.
I'll
but
say
that's
person
wrong.
Now. I'm tired of the C word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tiresome. It's short, too, and it's not that funny to say.
Actually, I quite like cunt.
I think
tits
is a lot more fun to say. Huh?
I like cunt, too.
Do you? Well, yeah, right. I don't actually think. But an ugly one would be bad.
Yeah. And an evil one would be very bad.
Right. So So, just to clarify.
Evil.
So, yeah, she doesn't... I think she is claiming that even if you responded to them, you would look like you were insensitive. But... but
wrong.
Then she doesn't even try.
Right.
She doesn't even try to respond with reasoned argument. And the other thing is, you know, what does she mean by somebody that she can respond to? She means somebody that she can beat up on.
Somebody she
without,
can slander the character
right,
of.
Somebody who she can slander and not look bad.
Right.
Or as bad as she might. And so what she is telling the Democratic Party is, please only choose spokespeople that it is easy for me to mock.
Right.
And if that's your strategy, then people shouldn't be paying attention to her in the first place.
They shouldn't, but they are. And she... I don't think that anybody seriously believes that the widows are enjoying their husbands' deaths, but Ann Coulter's thing is going out and saying things so outrageous. You know, in a way, she's like Fred Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Phelps goes out and says things that he knows are going to make people angry. I don't know whether he believes them or not.
We've been around the...
Right. But his whole thing is... I'll go out, piss people off, and then hope somebody will try to punch me so that I can sue them. And Coulter's thing is, I will go out, say these hideous things that will make people hate me, and then when they say things against me, I'll say, look how angry you are!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very much the, you know, the thing that I dealt with for years and years and years in alt atheism,
yeah.
The news group. You know, the doctrine of whoever loses their temper first is wrong. Which isn't true.
No, it isn't.
It is just not true.
Right.
But is there a perception?
That if you lose your temper, you may lose access to your critical faculties and make mistakes in your argument.
Right.
That may happen. That is a real risk.
But it has nothing to do with the validity of your argument.
Right. So there's that.
But what I'm saying is Ann Coulter doesn't make serious arguments, yet she expects to be taken seriously. So she goes out there and says, hey, we should all... Hey, I've got big Republican bodyguards and Democrats are pussies, which is something... one of her jokes on Jay Leno. And the only possible response to that is, fuck you, you bitch.
Yeah.
Because it isn't a real point that demands a real counter-argument.
Right. Now, another... another thing is, she complains about the Democrats getting behind spokespeople who have had these personal tragedies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tragedies. But it seems to me, in pretty much every case, the spokesperson is merely an exemplar of the actual feelings that people in the Democratic Party have about the issue at hand.
Right.
Right? Cindy Sheehan was not found by the Democratic Party and then funded and put on a pedestal by the Democratic Party as a ploy to put a spokesman against the war up in front of the Republicans that they couldn't criticize without looking like dicks. That she started on her own because she was actually pissed off by the war because of the personal tragedy that she had, and the Democrats looked at her and said, we agree that these tragedies, all these deaths, not just hers, but all of them, the ones we haven't had personally, but we feel are wrong, right? She is a great spokesperson for that because she has... I mean, when we say it, then people like Ann Coulter can say, well, you're just saying... that you're just playing on people's sympathies or people's knee-jerk dislike of death and war and horror, right? You haven't actually lost anyone, so why are you even talking? You don't have a stake in this.
Right.
Right? That kind of thing. Why is it that the Republican Party is not doing the same thing? If it's oh so effective, where are the Republican spokespeople who have had personal tragedies that that the Democrats can't respond to. Where are they?
If I were Ann Coulter, I'd say, well, that's because Republicans have principles.
Name me an issue for which there can even exist a person who has had a personal tragedy. How find me the person who has had a personal tragedy because somebody else burned a flag. Find me the person who has had a personal tragedy because some gay people got married. Where are they? There aren't any.
They fabricate personal tragedies sometimes. There was... in fact, there was a story recently, just this week, that I didn't print, but there was this father claiming that because he is an anti-gay activist, a bunch of kids surrounded his 7-year-old and beat him up in the schoolyard.
Now,
I'm not saying for sure that it was not true, but the principal has said that he, 2 days later, was not aware of this incident, and the police said they hadn't been contacted.
Okay. Well, if that happened, it is just as bad as any other beating up incident, because
that is
not the
true
way that things get resolved. But if that has happened, and then there is an example of a person on the other side with a personal tragedy. And
sure.
Would she tell him to shut up? Shut up, because you're making it look like we're putting forth spokespeople that people can't respond to.
Right.
I'd like to see her say that. Okay. I have another whole other area to go to with this. I only listened to her for like 15 minutes, and it was...
Oh, it's a whole world of hate. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, as you like to say, Dennis, a target-rich environment. Here
yes.
is another crazy thing Ann Coulter said. There is a liberal war on science, she says.
Oh, boy.
And that's when, like, studies come back with findings like black people are not as intelligent as white people, or women are not as good at science or mathematics as men.
Does Ann Coulter know anything besides, I know you are, but what am I?
Hang on. Let me describe the full stupid argument. She says when scientific results like that come in, Republicans are able to simply accept the facts and move forward because they believe God created the universe and everything is the way it is for God's mysterious purpose, and it's all whatever we discover is fine.
We can ignore the fact that
evolution.
That is her argument.
Just ignore the fact that it dovetails with their entire idiom.
It ignores the fact that Republicans are extremely guilty of concocting fake science to make their case based on their preconceptions. Now, it is true that when there was a university president last year, I think, who was caught saying something to the effect of women are not as good at math and science as men, and there was a big outcry. I don't know why she cited that when she was talking about a liberal war on science, because that's not a scientific study.
Yeah,
but
it
was
just a guy saying it.
She points to the liberal outcry. Now, it is true there are many people who are liberals object to certain ideas and would very much not like it to be discovered that they're wrong about those things, right?
Okay.
But for me, the issue of... I can't speak for all liberals. For me, the issue, like, on that the bell curve, right, the whole study that claimed that black people were not as smart as white people or whatever it was that it claimed to find, the issue there is I think it's extremely dangerous to even study such things because I think it is so important that we go on with our social convention that everybody has equal rights. But if it was discovered that people of different races had different capabilities, we should still adhere to our social convention that everybody deserves equal rights because that is important.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not sure I'm with you when you say it's dangerous to study that.
I'm not saying don't. I think it's dangerous to jump out of airplanes for, you know, skydiving, but I don't say people shouldn't do it.
Right. You mean it's dangerous in the sense that if it were true, it would be misused and applied to areas.
I think there are things that might be discovered that would be used by those with an agenda
right.
to undermine things like equal rights. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like social Darwinism.
Right.
Oh,
and I would sit
yes.
here and defend my opinion on this. Whereas I might get into an argument with another liberal who says, oh, no, I just don't believe that people of different races could possibly be have different capabilities. I've kind of gotten sidetracked on this. What is the point I'm trying to make? All right,
liberal
so there's this crazy shit. There's this crazy shit that Ann Coulter says about science, that because conservatives are Christians, they accept scientific findings at face value.
Sure.
And because liberals are trying to impose their views on the world, they have a problem. I actually have to agree with her that there are incidents where there are things that... Here's an example, but I can't necessarily point to Republicans or Democrats on this. There was a scientific study a few years ago which found that the negative impact of childhood sexual abuse was less severe than people generally thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, the response from Congress was to sign a resolution saying that was not true.
Right, which is
remember
insane.
That story?
Yeah,
that's bullshit, right? But that would be the sort of thing that a liberal might have a knee-jerk reaction to that finding and say, no, that can't possibly be right. I agree with Ann Coulter that when that happens, that is bad, and I even agree with her that some of that probably does happen among liberals because we got the wacky New Agers and you know touchy-feely religious kooks. But to put that up against the Republican actual campaign to, like, you know, take government appointees and put them in places like NASA and instruct them to modify the reports from those from the science that comes out of those places to match the Republican agenda is just horrendous.
Exactly.
It's one thing to hope that you don't find out certain things. It's another thing to say, well, you know, even if we found that was true, there's some actual issues here about how we're going to get along, and we don't want to sweep those under the carpet, even in the face of actual facts. Right?
Right.
We should probably know those facts. But we should then go on with our social conventions that are good for everyone.
Right. One more thing about Ann Coulter.
Oh, yeah.
Before we move on.
She's got a very, very... She's got very, very long, bony fingers, is what I heard.
That's not what I was going to bring up.
Yes.
I did mention to you before the show that I couldn't take my eyes off her hands.
Yeah.
Because she's that skinny.
Huh?
But
Relevant.
Not
relevant.
Relevant
to the argument. Okay.
What I was going to say is, of course, it's great fun to sit here and bash Ann Coulter.
It would
it
be
for...
even more fun to actually physically do it. No,
but
joke.
We don't do that sort of thing. Because we are not thugs.
Right.
I am.
I know. So we've been sitting here bashing her for, what, half an hour?
Yeah. Well, you know.
20 minutes.
It's easy.
I don't know.
That's important.
Are we in some sense playing into her hands?
No, I
because
think. Well, we started.
She gets off on publicity. Is
yeah,
what I'm saying.
I'd like to just get back to my advice for the Democratic Party, that is that the different subgroups in the Democratic Party need to make an active effort to talk. To find common ground and figure out how to continue getting along,
even with the New Age kooks.
And I, you know, and probably out of such a discussion, probably they would ask me to stop calling them kooks.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I can do that.
And if you buy her book, buy it from a used bookstore.
But it depends. we'll get into that in a second. I'm probably going to have to grit my teeth and stop berating my fellow liberals a little bit if I really believe that it is important enough that we should actually win the next election.
Well, you shouldn't name call, maybe, but you should be able to say that some of the things that that New Age people believe are just flat out wrong or unsupported by evidence. And I think there again is the distinction between personal attacks.
If they want to believe things that are not that are wrong or are not supported by evidence, that is their right.
Right.
They have that right. Even right-wing fundamentalists have the right to believe their crazy shit. So I think the common ground is. And you know what I really would like? I don't know if we can do this. In 2 weeks, you know what I'd like? I'd like a pagan and a liberal Christian here. Can we find one?
You think?
Find them?
Do they exist?
We've never done that sort of thing.
I mean, I keep hearing about liberal Christians, but I don't know if I've actually ever met one.
In the sense that they will vote as Democrats. There are a lot of them.
Oh, sure.
We need a phone line. I know a liberal Christian in another state, but... That's,
all right, we'll start working on a phone line thing, and we can also see about getting guests in here. Although we'll have to
that would be the next question is whether you'd even allow such people in the studio.
Share a mic, of course. Now, the question is whether or not they would want to sit through the rest of the show that they're not a part of.
I would think that if we had guests like that, it'd be the entire show.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk.
I would enjoy doing one show like
we'll
that.
We'll see what we can come up with. I did manage to.
Maybe not on the same day. Maybe just one guest at a time. During
my short stint as a co-chair of the Atheist Community of Austin, I think I talked about this before, I contacted the local interfaith organization, which includes people like the Ethical Culture Society, who are effectively atheists, but doesn't include the Atheist Community of Austin, because I don't think that most of the members of the ACA would sit still for being part of such a thing. But theoretically, they are like a liberal interfaith organization that discusses issues, and it's like Buddhists and Catholics and Presbyterians and Wiccans and ethical culture people doing exactly what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
right? And they were hesitant to talk. And I contacted them, and then they would like not get back to me.
Okay.
And I didn't call them any names or anything. Let's do the listener mail, shall we, of which we have a vast quantity today.
Absolutely.
Any other comments before I move on to this?
No, but there was one interesting thing. You were talking about possibly getting a pagan or a liberal Christian on the show.
Yeah.
One of my good friends who lives in Vegas, who I'll be going to see in August, is a Shintoist.
Oh, that'd be fine.
And I don't know.
Or is that a Republican right-wing Shintoist?
Oh, there's no way. No.
I don't know.
No, she's very sane.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she'd be interested, but there is a possibility. There's a utility that we use when playing the game, and somebody just mentioned in the chat room,
right.
called Skype, which is just voice over IP. It's possible that even without a phone line, we may be able to get a Skype connection set up and just run it through the board. But it's going to require me to do a lot of manipulating. We'll see what we can do. There may be guests next week,
maybe
not.
This is not the right show format to even do that. I would just like to see what would happen. All right, listener mail! Dun-da-da-da! Indefuel wrote, you know, I still don't know how to pronounce that. I would like to point out that in most cases of priests and ministers molesting children, it is not pedophilia that is taking place. Pedophilia is sexual desire for children in place of adults. Although most pedophiles are also child molesters, most child molesters are not pedophiles. Now, I'm gonna be a little skeptical of the word most, but that's what he's telling us. They are merely looking for an easy outlet for their sexual desires. These sexual predators don't tend to discriminate as much between boys or girls, and would likely prey on adults as well if it were possible. Not all child molesters are pedophiles, and people who sexually molest children of the same sex may not be gay. Noted. Indefuel is a annoying nitpicker. I do not dispute most of the points that he raises. I am a little skeptical of whether most child molesters are not pedophiles, but
we'll
maybe that's true.
Research.
I don't know where I would even find that out.
Most anybody knows child molesters are not.
What he's reminding us is that there are people who simply are sexual predators. They don't want children more than they want adults.
Just children
are
the opportunity.
Just easier.
Yeah, right. They're opportunistic without being.
Right.
And my thing would be, there's a lot of subtle different definitions for things.
Yeah.
And they fit in all kinds of categories. I've heard it said before that if you're a man and you participate in anal sex with other men, you're gay. It doesn't matter if you want to say you're bi. Okay, cool, you're bi, but you're also gay. It's like inclusive. And for me, if you're diddling little kids, you're a fucking pedophile. I don't care if there's some specific psychological definition that, okay, you're just an opportunistic prick.
And I agree with you. If these things are accurate, what we are talking about are technical definitions.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I would think that it is probably fair to say in general conversation that diddling little kids is an act of pedophilia.
Well, one of the ways
you want to quibble about whether or not the motivation is pedophilia.
Right. One of the ways I got around this before in the past was that if you're a male and you're actively participating in anal sex, you're participating in a homosexual behavior, whether or not you acknowledge or agree or believe you're a
and
homosexual.
And that's how you got around what?
This issue of specific definitions. And likewise, if you're diddling little kids, you're participating in pedophiliac behavior, even if you don't want to adopt the label or even if the label is technically not applicable.
Because the last thing we want to do is, like, you know,
insult those
label
people.
Sexual predators.
Yeah. Let's not cut any of these groups slack,
you know,
shall we?
I don't want to give the impression that we don't appreciate nitpicky technical definitions when they are applicable and when we have not used them.
That's right.
Noted. Thank you for your input. Okay. Jason, right here in Austin, Texas, writes, I listen to your show as much as I can. I have one beef with something said on the episode on June 3rd. The reason for this beef is due to hearing atheists talk about a subject in an intellectual, logical, and reasoning manner without any of the three. Jason, them's fightin' words, dude. You better have a damn good argument. On the show, he says, somebody likened piracy to stealing. And in this instance, by piracy, it was assumed to mean copying for personal use only, not mass reproduction and selling at cut-rate prices. Stealing is nothing like piracy. With stealing, the original owner of the property no longer has the property. With personal use piracy, the original has not been taken away or even damaged in any way, and the owner only loses money if the person never purchases a new copy of the property.
Which I think we were assuming in last week's discussion that we would not.
Last week, we were
talking about the upcoming Left Behind game, and you asked if it would be ethical to go ahead and steal or pirate
and
it.
I'll tell you right now, the only reason for my fuzziness on that issue is I knew what I really thought. I just wanted an excuse.
Okay.
I wanted an excuse to do something mean to them. But now, talking about the actual relevant facts, intellectual property is still property.
Right.
It does not matter whether there are physical objects involved.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again in another way. It is not. It doesn't stop being stealing just because what you stole was a piece of data that somebody else produced and not a physical object that they produced.
Right.
It is still theirs and not yours.
Right. Yes, they've lost their control over their intellectual property. They've lost something.
Right, and I wouldn't make a distinction between whether it's just one person using it personally rather than mass producing it. What if it was 1,000 people doing it
for their personal use? You can spin these kind of, well, it's not necessarily hurting all that much arguments.
Which is true.
But, you know, then what you've got is an argument for, you know, you need to possess this much cocaine. in order for it to be a violation, right? Or for it to be this bad of a crime. I'm sorry. I should not have brought up drugs. But drugs are a bad example because I'm very conflicted about that. But, you know, if you steal one apple from the apple vendor in the marketplace because you're starving, you can make an argument that maybe you shouldn't be punished as badly because you didn't take that much and you had this desperate need. You can make that argument, but you cannot say it's not stealing because I didn't take 12. And you can't say it's not stealing because all I took were ideas or data or music or software and not physical objects.
And as Russell,
it doesn't fly.
As Russell pointed out, if you have 1,000 people taking an apple each from the cart, hey, he's ruined.
Which is
regardless
of one person doing it.
Exactly.
And that is a damn good argument for continuing to criminalize the taking of just one.
Right.
Well, the
particularly when it's so easy to take just one.
Mm-hmm. See, analogies like this fail, though, when you start talking about intellectual property.
Hang on. I'm going to make a point. Let me go through his...
Okay.
Let's do that at the end, okay? He brought up later, I sort of truncated this, he brought up the issue of, well, what if the person who took it might not be able to actually afford it and never would have bought it in the first place?
Well, then
Not relevant. You wouldn't have paid money for it doesn't give you the right to take it. It doesn't. He also brought up, what if it's not any good and you bought it from a store where they don't take returns? Then you shouldn't shop at that store.
That's right.
The store has the right to have that policy, and the creator of that intellectual property has the right to sell his products through that store, and the fact that he chose to use that store does not give you ownership of his creative work for free.
I've got plenty of movies and video games that either weren't very good or I never even really played them, but I still paid for them.
That's right.
Hang on. I'm going to confess to some hypocrisy.
Okay.
I agree to everything you're saying.
Yep.
I still downloaded Napster when it was popular and ripped it and got a bunch of music. Anybody else?
No.
I did toy with Napster, but I didn't keep any of the stuff.
Okay. And I have a friend who I shall not name who pirates movies from other people, and I occasionally borrow movies from them.
I'll admit my hypocrisy also. I have pirated software. I have done that.
Sure.
I am not proud of it, and I will not argue that I had some right to do that.
Hmm.
And here's the reason, okay? You don't have the right to anything that somebody else created until they tell you that you do. It is theirs until they agree that you can have it.
Yep.
And that agreement generally takes the form of they put it up for sale somewhere and you purchase it. That is the agreement. Until then, it is theirs and it is not yours. It doesn't matter if you think it might be crap and you're concerned that you might not be able to get your money back. Not relevant. If they didn't say it's yours, it's not yours. Doesn't matter that you wouldn't have purchased it anyway. Doesn't fucking matter. If they didn't say it was yours, it's not fucking yours.
Let me keep moving us into fuzzier territory. Have you heard of abandonware?
Yes.
Have you downloaded abandonware?
Abandonware,
for our listening audience, is basically defined as games that are over 5 years old and are no longer being sold and are available basically illegally on the internet with the rationalization that nobody's selling them and there's no way to get your hands on it.
Yep.
Now.
Like all the arcade emulation
with
the copied EPROMs for every game that's ever been in the arcade.
Yep. I think in order to make sense of this discussion, we're going to have to draw a distinction between the actual legalities involved, right, and the risk that you're taking.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody knows that just because, you know, the speed limit is posted 65... that there are people who are not going 65. As far as I'm concerned, I'm sounding a little bit more certain about this than I actually am. Let me
Can I sidetrack for one thing on this?
Let me finish the thought, and then we'll sidetrack.
Okay.
The law is that law. It is ridiculous to say that if there are no cops around, then that's not the speed limit. Right?
Right.
It'd be ridiculous to say that because you needed to get to the hospital, the speed limit was something other than what was posted.
Actually, that's not ridiculous.
The speed limit is what is posted. What?
There are cases where that's wrong.
I'm not saying that you can't get away with it on that basis. I'm saying the posted speed limit is the posted speed limit. When we say that it is theft to copy somebody else's intellectual property without their permission, that is just like saying the posted speed limit on that chunk of road is 65 miles an hour.
With exceptions.
Right, there may be official exceptions.
Okay, if there are official exceptions, there are official exceptions. If there are exceptions that a judge will make for you because of circumstances, those are exceptions a judge is making for you because of circumstances. In no cases that I'm aware of are there exceptions you can just make for yourself because you think you know better.
Hmm.
But there, I completely recognize that sometimes you got to go faster than the speed limit. If you're, you got your wife in the car who's pregnant and you got to get to the hospital, you're gonna speed probably. And I understand that, and I hope that when it gets to a court, that an exception is made. But that does not change the law. Likewise, I understand, yes, you want to know if this game is any good before you lay out dollars for it, so you might go ahead and check it out. You are taking a risk, and I might not think you're a bad person, but I'm certainly not going to say because you are able to get away with that, that somehow the law is something different than it is.
Well, I don't.
The law is what it is.
And yes, because, abandonware is low risk.
Abandonware is low risk, but clamped down, they have every legal right.
Yep.
And to bitch and moan at that point if they come after you is ridiculous.
There are plenty of fuzzy areas, though, in intellectual property, and this is one that came up this week specifically.
Okay.
Working on a new site, NDefuel is helping us. Uh-huh. I've slapped up.
We want to hype that site?
No,
not yet. Right. No, but listen for an announcement in a few weeks because this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. But anyway, I slapped up a quickie.
Roll the. I'm sorry, I'll talk to you about that after the show. Sorry, go on.
I slapped up a quickie logo, but what I did was I found a photograph of a statue and modified it in Photoshop so that it was. Fit our style a little better and significantly different from the original work and slap some text underneath it. Now, let's say there's a statue out there that everybody and their brother can go look at. It's public property or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Somebody takes a photograph of it. They own the rights to that photograph and they can sell that photograph. But they don't own the statue, and somebody else could take an identical photograph and you'd never know specifically which photograph was which. There are gray areas in there where is it okay to use a copy of somebody's photograph and modify it? Does that type of thing fall under fair use? Especially, let's say you're not attempting to make any money out of it. A lot of these questions come down to, are you making money off of somebody else's intellectual property?
I think Amanda wanted to come to the show here today, but then didn't because she was too tired. But she has done a lot of research into exactly these kinds of legal issues because it comes up on her online game.
Yeah.
And she has deep knowledge of these kinds of things.
I think we
should continue this discussion. But we will. I don't mean stop it now. But I'm going to try to get her to come in here next time and we'll talk about this in more detail. One of these coming weeks, we'll talk about this.
There's not much room at Dillahunty Studios.
Except that, as atheists, we have to deal with these kinds of issues of right and wrong and ethics.
Right, because we don't have a God
enforcing
that.
Man in the sky telling us what the rules are. Yes,
yeah.
But
absolutely.
But I'm pretty much up on fair use as it applies to copyright. For example, I could slap Microsoft's logo up on my site as long as it was used in the context of commentary, criticism, or critique.
Right.
As long as I'm not trying to misrepresent myself as them and or sell products with it.
Yeah.
So that kind of fair
use.
Let's
run a little science fiction-y scenario, okay? It's 20 years in the future, and now instead of just like flat cameras that take, you know, static images, now we have these little devices you can carry around. You point them at some solid object, and your nanomachines go out and they take precise, you know, molecule scale measurements of the thing, and they see what material it's made out of, right? And you've completely got all the data describing that statue, and you hook this data, you run this data right through a replicator, and it literally makes a molecule exact perfect copy of the original thing. It's different from a photograph. I'm thinking that's more like copying software.
Well, these arguments have come up because they came up originally, well, they came up several times, but the big one was when VHS and Betamax first hit. Oh, now you can copy movies, but those products degrade. But then we see this again as soon as you get digital reproductions of, well, you're making a copy and it's identical to what I produced. Well, I agree that people should be paid for the work that they do, especially with regard to intellectual property. And, well, I have to say that in a room with a couple of artists.
Oh, yes. Let me make it clear. Dennis and I here are artists, and I'm also a game designer. And if you walk off with a copy of my work without my permission, then fuck you.
Yeah.
I want to make that completely, completely clear. That is my work. How dare you make these dumbass arguments that somehow it's okay. It's not okay. It's my property. You have no right.
So let's say I took a drawing of yours of a dragon, let's say.
Yep.
Scanned it in.
Yep.
Brought it into Photoshop.
Yeah.
Put it in a broader scene, changed the coloration, made modifications to it so that I was now creating a new piece of art as like a derivative of your work. Do you think that would violate your IP?
There are actually legal guidelines on how much change there has to be in a piece of art before it is legally considered okay.
Yeah.
To me, getting outside of the law.
Yeah. I'm
and
more interested in how you feel about
it. It's not relevant, see, because my opinions about all this stuff aren't relevant.
But that's what I'm asking
because
for.
Because the law happens to be on my side. My intellectual property is my intellectual property. But it matters to me personally, you know, emotionally, what kind of changes you make, right? If you simply copy a pose from a figure that I've drawn, I don't have that much of a problem with that, right? But if all you do is change, like, you know, the Superman that I drew, it changes S into a Q, right? That is a much bigger deal for me, right? It depends on how much
Superman.
Although, why are you drawing Superman? Isn't that somebody else's intellectual property?
Superman is...
You can draw anything that you... first of all, I'm not copying their work, and I'm not selling their trademark, and trademark is different from copyright.
What is Superman, like 80 years old now? 70?
Yeah, let's not get sidetracked on Superman.
Okay,
so emotionally, it matters to me, you know, which bit... Some bits of it I consider my creative stuff. The pose, no, not that big of a deal. But specific choices of shading and stuff like that, I mean, it's very subjective.
Yeah, there's also an issue of posting images up on the internet and whether or not they enter the public domain and for that type of modification.
I have people coming to me all the time asking for permission to copy. In fact, I got an email from a guy who wanted to... back in the late 70s, early 80s, I was the co-author of a superhero role-playing game called Villains and Vigilantes. And there was an adventure published for that called Force. And I just got an email from a guy who is connected with a little game convention up in the Northeast who wanted to know if it was okay for him to trace that image, change all the characters to characters from his... from the group of characters he's going to use in the adventure he's going to run at that convention. And I said, sure. Right? Because that
is just poses.
No, my character, yeah, it's all these people.
But
are
he
the,
asked
are the
you.
Poses. And he asked me, which
yeah.
I consider.
It's different.
I consider very polite.
Well, I think that's a huge issue, too. Is because a lot of people would rampantly run around grabbing whatever images they can off the internet and just using them, when if you actually asked. I think most people would say, yeah, you're using that. You're not trying to make a buck off something I created. Go ahead and do what you're going to do with that in a lot of situations.
Right. On the other hand, there were the Eat More Christians t-shirts that I made and we used to sell here
right.
from this show. I'm wearing one right now, as a matter of fact.
It is the
concept stolen from a Chick-fil-A advertising
campaign right.
where it's three cows holding up placards that read "Eat more chicken," right?
Right.
And I've changed it to lions. This is well beyond the threshold of sufficient changes to make it completely legal.
It also fits in the parody category.
It's also parody. However, we had them for sale in Cafe Press for a while, and then Chick-fil-A found out. And complained to Cafe Press, and they had to be taken down. Had I taken Chick-fil-A to court, could I have won? Probably. But I don't have the money. So there's a whole other issue of,
yeah.
you know, simple browbeating.
Right.
And that's another issue which we can discuss later, too. If somebody has a trademark or copyright, and they allow people to infringe on it,
yeah.
once they've started to allow that progress, they can't then pick and choose who they're
right.
going to allow. Because they've essentially opened it up to public domain once they start doing that.
Xerox, the word Xerox for a copy,
yeah.
is in the public domain because
yeah.
of exactly that reason.
Hmm. Kleenex.
I've got
Kleenex
one more
too.
Example.
Okay.
Say you're Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson
Anybody know
in the
where
public
I'm going
domain?
No, but people on the internet now sell illegal
take her cake. Head and sever it and sew it onto Ann Coulter's body.
Ew.
Or was that Al Franken's head on Al Coulter's body?
Ew.
Ew.
No.
Yeah.
Mad science.
Ann Coulter. No, Pamela Anderson has sex with her husband at the time and videotapes it. And then somebody steals the videotape, and...
Pamela Anderson have a sex tape?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You
want to
see
Oh,
it?
Hell yeah.
I was thinking of somebody else.
The quintessentials.
Of course, I'm sorry, I've been looking at completely different porn.
I'm surprised, no... See, I was surprised for a moment that nobody knew what I was going to say as soon as I said Pamela Anderson.
Go ahead.
And people steal that... Some guy breaks into their house and steals the sex tape.
Uh-huh.
And sells it.
Yeah.
I don't remember why he wasn't successfully prosecuted.
He
was. Do you?
They, as far as I know, they settled out of court for a monetary sum.
Oh, okay. Right.
I don't know for
Never
sure,
mind.
Though. There's so many of those that I could be misremembering.
If your personal private sex tape is actually worth many millions of dollars, you might be content just to take a cut.
Especially if you're no longer involved with the person that you made the tape with.
That's true,
right.
too.
And if everybody knows you're a big hoe. Already,
which
it's
they
not
do.
Like it's going to hurt your reputation. All right. We flogged this issue to death. I think the bottom line, Jason, in Austin, Texas, thank you very much for listening to our show. But you are totally wrong. thinking that it's up to you to decide when it's okay for you to walk off with somebody else's intellectual property without permission. That is neither ethically okay nor is it legally okay. Please stop doing that kind of stuff very much. And I have to put in the very much because I am also guilty of doing that.
And I gotta say,
I am a guy who makes a living doing computer graphics, and there is art software that I have that I can't afford, but I have to have, or I don't make a living.
But you're not excusing yourself.
I am not excusing myself. I am not. I am bad.
You are saying you're
bad
a thief.
Bad of me to do this.
You're
I am
a thief because of that.
I am a thief. In this case,
right?
I try not to do stuff like that, right? And I certainly don't condone it for myself or others, but I have done it. That doesn't make it okay.
And I got to say, while I kind of sideways
cracked... As soon as I can afford that, I'm going to do it.
While I sideways kind of cracked on the two true artists in the room...
Wait, I have to clarify what I just said. Because that's another one of the arguments.
That's another excuse that they offer.
Oh, it's okay to get it for free because as long as you intend to pay for it if you use it. That's still not ethically okay, and it's still not legally okay. But
right.
People do it, and when you do it, you're taking a risk. And if I get caught doing this, and I get fined or imprisoned or whatever it is that happens to you if they catch you swiping software...
You deserve it.
I deserved it. That is the difference.
You can't complain.
Since we're running out of time, I'd really,
really
like...
Oh, my God.
I'd really like...
It took a while.
If you have to triage some of the letters today, I'd really like to get to that fan mail we got a couple of days ago.
Oh,
well,
let me just... Tennessee?
No.
California? Anne?
No.
In California? Did you bring a different one that I don't have anything from Tennessee?
Let me see. I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
We're more minutes here with Russell looking through the listener mail to see if he can find the letter from Tennessee that we don't have one of. What was it about?
It was just somebody who lives in some southern state and saying it's so wonderful and it keeps her sane because she doesn't know anybody who talks like
this. I think that may
way.
Have been to the TV show, dude.
Shoot.
I have to be very careful when
right.
Because I get both forwards.
You're right.
And I pull out the stuff. Okay, but we did get some glowingly positive emails, and let me quickly go through them as fast as I can. Anne in Santa Clara writes, I only became aware of your show recently, but have since listened to every archived show dating back to July 15, 2005.
Cool.
Is that all there is, archived?
Yeah.
Or has she got some distance to go yet?
Currently on the web.
Your show is a wonderful mingling of rational education and entertainment. Where else could I find people who can explain common logical fallacies and the etymology of the word asshat in the same breath? I was raised Christian, but I found it impossible to just believe something on the basis that people told me it was true, particularly when this supposed truth radically differed from the reality I observed all around me. It's becoming clear to me that rational thought is in short supply these days. Listening to your show has given me renewed vigor for the cause of championing reason. I apologize if this is old news, but somebody has taken to modeling various Bible stories in Lego. That's www.thebricktestament.com and a great site for anybody who hasn't already checked it out.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're adding to it all the time.
I know.
It's getting very
According
expensive.
To her letter, I went there, and oh, man, it's looking good. And the photography is excellent.
Sure
the one on bestiality just broke me.
But he's stealing God's intellectual property.
I think the copyright on that.
Yeah, Bible quote made it. Keep up the good work and the good thinking. The world most definitely needs it now. Thank you very much, Anne. Chris in Chester, Maryland wrote, this is actually he wrote to give us a little news story. Bush signed legislation raising the radio and television fines
for
broadcasters by ten times.
Those fuckers.
And this is of on the Christian Coalition's agenda. It was the number five thing that they wanted to happen as far as legislative actions. So it's making the right wing happy. Luke writes, I noticed that several atheist bloggers have been migrating their blogs to the new science blog site. SB's goal is to create the world's largest conversation about science and to highlight how scientific knowledge is woven into our culture. The URL is scienceblogs.com. And he says, as always, I really enjoyed the last show. Chuck wrote, I was discussing church-state separation with a friend of mine the other day at work. He contends that the idea of church-state separation is not addressed in the Constitution. His contention is that the separation of church and state applies only to the federal level and that states should not have to follow the guidelines. Any response, Matt?
Yeah, he's completely fucking wrong.
Okay, give us
I actually started working up a reply directly to this guy's email because it's something we could probably discuss next time, depending on whether or not we get guests. First state church
write
separation.
Write down a note. We will give you more feedback next time.
The new site
I
that
get to
we
this
haven't mentioned yet.
I really
yet want
to get to this next email.
An extensive response to that.
Okay, great. Tony writes, near the end of episode 507, you started talking about a girl at the voting booth and the way of the master. I had a question and a comment. What is the mosquito in the subway example? Okay, Tony, write this down. www.gene.ch/gentech/1998 /JUL-SEP/MSG00188.html. That is a news story about this discovery. And there's another URL that we're going to post to the chat log, and it'll be near the end of the show. You can go in there and find it. It's a link to the actual scientific report.
Wow. Cool.
He also says on the Hellbound Alley show, they had somebody from the Way of the Master on, and she countered the "Are you a good person?" argument, right? Did you ever steal anything? If you did, you're a thief, right? She countered by saying, "Have you ever told the truth?"
Yeah.
If
it was
you
awesome.
Are, uh-huh. Then you're a good person.
And you know, I listened to that show the other day because Ray Comfort conceded the banana argument completely on that program.
Right.
And
good
I
show.
And actually, you know, I enjoyed the show. I thought they let him get away with way too much.
Agreed. But
I loved the fact that when they did get him, they got him good, and they finished the show with a really intelligent hammering of the "Have you ever told the truth? Well, what does that make you?" Because it just completely demolishes. And the
right.
thing that was sad was that Ray just kind of chuckled and shrugged it off of, "Oh, you guys are funny." When, you know, it wasn't funny. It was
right.
a perfect demonstration of the fallacy that he uses all the time by confusing good and perfect in order to make this, you know, heartstring-tugging argument for God.
Yeah. Do we really have 3 minutes left?
No.
We have how much? 1 minute left. Well, I want to thank Tear Gas for sending us the Reuters clipping about the guy who said, "God will save me if he exists," and jumped into a cage full of lions and got eaten. I can't read the whole thing, though, because we're out of time. Thanks, everybody that wrote in. I actually got to all of them, but there's a lot of news we didn't cover.
Yeah.
That's okay. The rest of mine wasn't worthwhile.
Either. Or mine either. This has been a great show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will leave you again with XTC doing their song, The Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead, worth giving a nice close listen to pick out the anti-religious sentiment in it. Thank you for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.